Lee Morgan on trumpet, leading the band with Cornbread. Herbie Hancock on piano, Billy Higgins on drums, Jackie McLean on alto sax, Hank Mobley on tenor sax, and Larry Ridley on bass. This is the title track of Morgan's 1965 album. Yes, we go all the way back there. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Well, we start off with some sad news today concerning Congressman John Lewis, who called a news conference to announce yesterday that he has been diagnosed with late-stage pancreatic cancer. He went in for a regular checkup, and this was discovered. Stage 4 cancer of the pancreas. He said he is immediately beginning treatment, utilizing innovative protocols found encouraging in treating the disease. He is not disillusioned about what his future holds, except that he intends, as a fighting spirit, to continue fighting. He will continue with his political work, continue representing the 5th Congressional District, which he has been representing since 1987. He said he will continue with that for as long as he can. And lots of good wishes go out to him. As you know, John Lewis began his sojourn into the field of civil rights activism at a young age. He was a very young man at the time. We have several iconic photographs showing him being taunted by dogs and other workers being threatened for doing their work, fighting for civil rights. And he did formally enter Congress, the formal political process, as it were. All the other work that he had done in conjunction with people like Martin Luther King and Abernathy and the whole gang of activists who basically started a formal movement of resistance against the conditions under which people of color were forced to live in the United States, and against particularly the unequal and disparate application of the law where they're concerned. And he's been there. He's been in Congress, as I said, since 1987. This diagnosis does put a damper on things, no question about it. And pancreatic cancer is a particularly aggressive kind of cancer. You don't have much time, but hopefully there are treatments that would help him achieve his principal goal, which is to finish what he started. And we all hope that he's able to do that, because that is what he places as a priority in his life. Sad news, but he's dealing with it quite well. He has a very good attitude about it. And he was very proactive. He called a conference, a news conference, and he took charge of the information about himself and his disease. So we wish him all the best, the very best, and that he would continue, that he would achieve his primary goal of getting certain priority items done in Congress. Well, the question today is, when and how will the impeachment of President Trump be resolved? It is time for us to demand answers from Nancy Pelosi, the person who decided, after the vote was taken in the House, on the two articles of impeachment presented for a vote. The vote was taken, and the vote was that the president should be impeached on these two grounds, obstruction of justice, and I always forget the two, obstruction of justice, and I'll remember the other one. But even after the vote was taken, now Pelosi should have physically taken, the vote itself, the document, finalizing the vote, and it should have gone now to the Senate. The Senate will then conduct, in effect, a trial based on the two articles of impeachment, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. But that didn't happen. With the document in hand, she decided that she was going to hold on to it. Obviously, having been advised by some legal beagles in the Democratic Party as a tactic to hold things in abeyance. At least this was meant to put even more pressure on Trump to compromise and to basically come to terms with these charges. I don't know why they would expect that. But even in our company, in our group here, people have raised very important questions. Why, of all the charges that were considered or could have been considered, for which there was ample evidence of support, why these two charges, these two articles of impeachment? Abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. And it seems odd to anybody, it would seem odd that after all the witnesses called, all of the documents produced, all of the subpoenas issued, the big drama about putting Donald Trump essentially before the world to explain the highly irregular activities of his office and his administration. Why these two? I explained it, I think. The two charges, when you look at them, have something in common. And the something they have in common is not Trump, but Biden, Joe Biden. And in the end, all of this drama, all of this, you know, quarreling and fighting is really about the Democratic Party going all out under the supposed instructions or plans of Nancy Pelosi to protect Joe Biden. The two charges, when you look at them, they're not, these charges do, they seem that they come from nowhere, but they come from somewhere. And the somewhere is the gas company in Ukraine that involves both Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. But the clever thing that she thought she was doing was making it part of the reason, the overarching reason that the Democrats were seeking to impeach President Trump. Look at the charges and you see both of them concern Ukraine, concern the Bidens. Has nothing to do with any U.S. Policy or anything like that. It just simply has to do with protecting Bidens, the Bidens. And Joe Biden is, of course, selected. I mean, I don't think it would be a surprise to say Biden is the selected candidate of choice by the Democratic establishment to be the Democrats' guy for president. The Trump group had unearthed some very disturbing connections between Biden, Biden's son, and this gas energy company called Burisma in Ukraine, where Biden's son, completely unqualified, totally unqualified, has zero experience in the field of energy and gas, was able to snag a job as a member of the board of directors of this company, for which he was awarded a salary of between $50,000 and $80,000 a month. Now that suggests corruption. The corruption it suggests is that Biden, being the vice president of the United States under Barack Obama, had wielded so much influence that he was able to get this job for his son. And the corrupt Ukrainian government said, okay, believing that by giving his son this job, they would have even greater access to whoever they needed to have access to as policies are developed. This is how it's done. It's under the table, but it's normal in politics that you have this kind of stuff going on. If you look at the Trump administration, the kinds of, you know, the intricate weaving of influence and power because of personal connections, and they get all kinds of goodies. They make tons and tons and tons of money. Okay, so it's really, this is what I want you to understand. This has to do with protecting Joe Biden. So Nancy Pelosi is holding on to an already executed process. The thing is, it was supposed to be done in a timely fashion, and it was. and they took a vote. And now the expectation is that things would continue from there. They have not continued because she is spreading the word that this is a tactic, you know, superior political tactic. She will hold on to the documents saying officially that the House had voted to impeach on two counts. She will hold on to that because there is no rule that says by when she should turn the document over to begin the next leg of the race, which is a full trial in the Senate. So she arbitrarily and unilaterally decided that she was just not going to go any further. She's just going to sit there with the documents. Presumably, she will bring them to the Senate whenever she's ready, but this is already done. But when you look at this, the charges on which the Democrats or the House won this so-called conviction, if you will, on these two charges, abuse of power, obstruction of Congress. How serious are these charges? Now, many members of Congress, especially in the Senate, the Republican-led Senate, they're publicly saying, this is worthless, really. Of all the things that you could have charged the president with, you come up with obstruction of Congress and abuse of power. And what are the statutes governing these two things? They're not very well itemized. So you come up with charges, but the charges are weak and flimsy, which is another indication that Pelosi and the Democrats, in selecting these two articles of impeachment to pursue, simply wanted to have something in hand quickly to tell the nation and to tell the Senate, we're not fooling around. We're coming after your guy. When the fact is, they are fooling around because these charges are not specifically identified. They're not specifically laid out in terms of the law as to how one could be said to have engaged in abuse of power or engaged in obstruction of Congress. It's very loosely defined. So, yes, for public relations sake, it appears as if the Democrats scored a victory. But have they? And what is the game about? What is this game except to delay and protect Joe Biden from being himself called, not just to testify, but as a target of prosecution? You have to watch these people. They're scoundrels. They make people believe that things are moving along. Look, I have the document. Here's the vote. And on both articles of impeachment, the vote was that we found a reason to now take this charge, these two charges against Donald Trump, to the next level. But it is riddled with holes. It is not precise. the law is exceedingly fluid on these two counts. They just want to buy time, enough time to give Joe Biden something of a backing so that the Republicans will back off of him and let's let him continue his candidacy. And he and Trump will engage each other with other matters. But they're not going to tackle this piece with Hunter Biden, his son, because that could open up a whole can of worms for which Joe Biden and Hunter Biden will have no defense. So we'll shelve this portion of the thing. This is what they're saying. They may have entered into some kind of informal discussions about that with the Trump camp. Let's get over this and let's get back to normal fighting. The people would forget this. That's what this is all about. All this time, all this money spent, all this propaganda to say they were seriously looking into the impeachment of Trump, when nothing suggested that's what they were doing. What they were doing was trying to cover Joe Biden. And the still open question about his involvement and his son's involvement in Ukraine, it remains a legitimate issue and it should be asked. And Nancy Pelosi has to come under some heavy questioning here. Heavy questioning. And she must account for her arbitrary actions by saying, after all this time spent on supposedly looking at Trump, putting him under the microscope, you were fixing up, you were patching up the gaping holes that would have swallowed up Joe Biden, your favorite candidate, and his son. Now, just the first question, how does a young man who has no job experience to speak of, no education to speak of, reportedly a very, very deep junkie, addicted to drugs, has a scattered past, has no experience in this field, you suddenly find him in a well-made suit and tie, and he's sitting on the board of directors of a foreign company in Ukraine. How do you explain that? And how dare Joe Biden attempt to explain? He knew nothing about his son's operations with this company. He never discussed it, he said. He knows nothing about it. And yet, this young man, who you knew as his father, to have been completely out of the loop, has a practice, a consultancy practice, and he's making between $50,000 and $80,000 a month, you must be out of your mind. Of course, there are questions that should be answered here. that should be asked and answered. Are people fools? And this is what the Democratic Party is doing. It is corrupt. Nancy Pelosi should have reserved that charge of abuse of power for herself. And still, even though the process, the so-called inquiry, is, quote, ongoing, unquote, nothing has come out of it that in any way jeopardizes Joe Biden. We will know when Pelosi calls it off and says, oh, we're still determining, you know, the legal fine points of it, because we don't have the legal fine points yet to guide us, both sides, about the process. Just absolute trash. Hogwash. Doesn't mean a thing. The thing is that Biden now should answer some questions. What did he know? When did he know it? What role, if any, did he play in securing contracts and privileges for this company because his son was on its board of directors? Son is living very nicely in California in a multi-million dollar home. Not bad for a guy who could barely keep track of his own name. It's called corruption. And don't tell me Trump is the only corrupt person here, and his administration is the only corrupt administration here. And in the end, it involves millions of taxpayer dollars are going into this farce. I think that's a crime. I think that's abuse of power. And I think that there would be massive resistance to getting anywhere close to the facts of these questions. They will not permit anybody to get close to these questions because Nancy Pelosi has been given a charge. Her charge is get Biden into play. He has got to be a candidate. If they have to prop him up. Because of millions and millions of dollars are going into his campaign. It is vital that he be a candidate for president because there's a lot of money, a lot of fundraising going on to provide millions of dollars. There are a lot of people looking forward to revitalizing the connections they used to have when Barack Obama was there. There's a lot going on. There's great, great interest in Joe Biden winning this election. And Nancy Pelosi, she should be charged and removed from her office for that. Instead of looking at the broad spectrum of what the members of the House had delineated as being very important to pursue with Trump and a possible impeachment, she said no. They called witnesses, they did all this stuff to divert our attention, but we should let them know our attention has not been diverted. We still are clear that the issue is Biden. Joe Biden has to answer some questions. His son has to be brought before the committee, the judicial committee, and made to answer some questions. There has to be an investigation of how this young man ended up all the way over there in Ukraine and making ridiculous amounts of money. What was that about? That was in anticipation of Joe Biden becoming president and reviving all the old corrupt connections they used to have. Money-making corrupt connections. The Democrats have shown that they out there with it, they're still trying to persuade people that it is not what we think it is. It is not what I say it is. Giving all these stupid explanations as to why you can't transmit a document voted in Congress from one part of Congress to the other part. And you deciding by yourself to interrupt the process for reasons that you and you alone, you know, but you won't say. Now that's abuse of power if ever there was a charge. That's abuse of power. Making people believe the Republicans are crooked, but the Democrats are straight. The Republicans are underhanded, but the Democrats are above board. They're all stinking on ice, as far as I'm concerned. But you see, here we get away with things. And you also have to factor in the privilege of race and class in all of this. Nobody is suggesting that Nancy Pelosi is doing anything wrong, or that this matter needs to be opened up fully and let us understand what is going on here and what has been going on here for months at taxpayer expense. They have no problem reaching into the till and making taxpayers pay for everything, including this effort to disguise the truth, to hide the truth. And that's the real mission of going after Trump. Now, I would appreciate it if they were going after Trump. He needs to be gone after. But don't tell me you're going after Trump when you could come up with only two, with all these witnesses, with all these documents that you've subpoenaed, all this calamity you've created around getting to the truth, when in fact you just have two main focuses here. Just two. And that's why your committees, as bright as they are, as experienced as they are, could only vote out two articles of impeachment against Trump. You never, from the beginning, intended to pay attention to the full panorama of what it is you were looking at. Your only concern was protecting Joe Biden. protect him, because a while ago it was decided he would be the Democratic candidate. He will be the one. He'll be the face of the Democratic Party. And they will invest in him, including investing in protecting him from close scrutiny. All right. So I've laid it out so that you can start rethinking what is presented to us as a process. And the process has as its target Donald Trump. No, the process has as its target saving Joe Biden. Saving Joe Biden is the number one priority. We'll get to Trump, because there are other ways to do that. But before the nation, we're going to pull off the biggest ruse there has been in decades. We're going to pretend that we are marshaling all these constitutional resources and legal resources and, you know, the democratic process and blah, 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 to protect our democracy. No, you're protecting Joe Biden. That's your number one priority. I'll take a break here and come back to further discussions with your questions right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the biggest scam being run in this country before our very eyes, and that is a pretend attack against President Trump, when it's really an all-out effort to protect Joe Biden. Because he's very vulnerable. He is very vulnerable with this Ukraine connection. And that, in turn, will open up a whole bunch of other cans of worms that would involve other people who have been, you know, skirting around the edges, like Hillary Clinton and others, which is to say the connections that Joe Biden has. So they don't want any of this. They don't want any of this to unravel in public. So they have a plausible deniability by saying, look, this is all about we going after Trump. Sure. Okay. But I wasn't born yesterday. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to talk about how I look at this. I think the Democrats of the Uniparty, most of them, I would say, corrupt, have made a big tactical error in fighting against Trump. Because they, by filing that charge with him, against him, during the impeachment, they opened the door for close scrutiny of what they've been doing. So by opening the door and following up with what they feel that Trump has done that was illegal, they've opened up the door in terms of Joe Biden that I guess they didn't expect would open up. So, you know, this is laughable. You know, you're calling somebody else a crook, and, hey, you open the door. Well, what about you? That's what's happening with the Democrats, as I see it. Now, also, what comes to mind to me, there needs to be really an investigation of all the members in this gang of 535 people in the House and the Senate. I imagine that the majority of the people in there, I would think, have friends and relatives who are getting some advantage by them who are sitting in those two legislative bodies. That would be a fantastic investigation to do that with each member. And, you know, that to me is the norm of what happens in politics. You help out your friends and relatives, and but it's really hard. I guess the media is not enthusiastic about that, but that would be very interesting to see the spouses of these representatives are doing this, and what benefits they're getting from having their spouse or relatives or friend in Congress. So to me, what Trump probably said to this person who was asked to give an investigation of Biden and Hunter, you know, is a norm. I guess that happens in a lot of countries when you deal with a country like the United States as an imperial power. So that's the way I see it. I see it as a mistake they made in opening that door, and now it's going to come back to slam in their face. So that's the way I see it.
Oh, thank you. Also, it shows that they're not getting good advice. These are things that one assumes that the party leader would have vetted with your in-house counsel and all this kind of stuff. You have a team of people presenting legal options to you, but this is a case, it seems, where one person makes a decision, and that's Nancy Pelosi is the queen.
A bad decision for them.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi is the queen, and we all have to organize around what she says. Thanks, David, for getting us started today. Gwen, you're on the air. Hello, Gwen, you are on the air. Okay, Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
I see it like this. We, the people, have been in cahoots with this, and we've also facilitated this, because it was so obvious from the beginning that it was not about Trump's improprieties, but it was all about people's disgruntlement with Hillary losing the election. And all these impeachment efforts, they were all hoaxes. They were grabbing at straws. And we, the people, we who were also emotionally disjointed by Hillary's loss, joined in that. You know, it was all an emotional thing. Look, you could take it back to even this big protest when on the day that he was being inaugurated. You could see that it was not a spontaneous thing. It was organized. All these buses came in, etc. But we are so lost emotionally in this that we just choose to see what we want to see. Wasn't it obvious about the Joe Biden's thing? When that first came out, everybody ignored it. Even in this forum, when you would bring it up, people bring this up, everybody wants to ignore. How did this guy get this job making they say 86,000. Some people believe it was even 100 and something thousand a month. And how did he get to know someone in Ukraine to get this job, this drug addict, you know? And I think that we, if you look at it, we all are guilty too. I mean, it's so obvious that this is not about Trump. It's about Hillary Clinton losing the election. And until we face that, we will all be running in circles like a dog chasing its tail. And that's all I have to say about it. I think it's so obvious.
All right.
You know.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your contribution today. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Ms. Lead. Yeah, I'm afraid you're giving the Democrats more credit than I would. we don't have politics in the United States. We haven't had it for 100 years, at least since the McKinley administration, which was the first openly purchased presidency by corporate power. It's no longer necessary to power. What we have is a controlled spectacle. These aren't mistakes. Nancy Pelosi's been in office long enough that she understands something about strategy if she wants to. She doesn't want to. She's paid to lose. If you look at how the Democrats actually vote, I mean, put their stupid rhetoric aside, they gave Trump everything he wanted. They gave him the money for his wall. They voted for his bloated military budget. They proposed bloated military budgets of their own. When it was time to renew the Patriot Act a few weeks ago, every Democrat voted for it, including the Squad and all the fake progressives. This is a show for an idiot public that wants to believe that there's a Santa Claus in power that cares about them in some aspect of government and is fighting this terrible battle for the people's benefit. It's for children. Americans have to grow up. This is just not a contest. This is like expecting, if I watch Goldfinger enough times, Oddjob will win. Goldfinger will win if I just watch enough times. No, that's not the script. The organized corporate power doesn't need it. We don't have politics. Americans don't even know what politics is. A political system is something you take part in where you have some say in what the platform of the party would be. That's what being a member of a political party means, for instance, in other countries where they have some semblance of a democracy. We don't have that. You simply ratify pre-selected rulers chosen by corporate power at election time, and then you're forgotten again the next day. But Americans cannot see through this. They listen to the media who constantly harp on this stuff. The biggest news item every single day is there's no elephant in the room. That's the biggest news item every day. And from progressive radio to right-wing CBS radio on AM or the so-called mainstream on CNN, I haven't watched that stuff for 40 years. It's the same message. There's nothing important going on here. All we need to do is care about these frauds in power, but you're powerless. You just watch the show, man. Just shut up, stay on the sidelines, and do nothing and watch the show. And we accept that. That's the problem. You had a caller a while back that quoted H.L. Mencken, you know, about the American people are morons and eventually their dream will be realized by having a moron for president. Well, he wrote that in 1929. You see, and if you read the article, the essay that line is from, it's called Bayard versus Lionheart. He doesn't blame the politicians. He blames the public for falling for this scam. That's the issue, and that's the thing we never get used to, and that's why we never do anything about it. We're just passive consumers of information about what power does. That's it. So we deserve to be where we are, regardless of our silly politics, which has no effect on anything.
Well, thank you for your contribution. Thank you very much. We needed to hear that today. E from Edgewater, you're on the air, and we're running close to time.
Yes, good afternoon, Yatis.
Hello.
Well, hope we're all doing well. And
yes.
You know, we're just hell-bent on sticking to this thing that we've been sticking to for hundreds of years, that we believe that we have this power of voting, and we believe that there's two separate parties, and we're satisfied with two. And as long as we're happy with that, then they're going to continue on this course that we're on. And we're the losers. And Lincoln calls talking about they think that Hillary, oh, it's all about Hillary, that she lost the election, that she was supposed to lose the election, Lincoln. It was all planned out this way for Donald Trump to be the president, because he's not really a politician. He's one of the people, and he gets all the blame, and he knows nothing's going to happen to him, and he's always going to come out on top. And the whole thing's arranged. And we have to wake up to this fact that we're being played every day of our lives. If you really believe that Hillary Clinton received 67 million votes, that's part of the problem then. And if that Donald Trump, you really think 130 million people went out and voted for these two people that I've proven were the least two people we would want to run for president? These were the two people we got. It's a game going on. And as long as we keep believing in it, they'll keep giving it to us. As simple as that. We have to do something else to prove that we don't want this. We want something better than this.
What would that be?
It's hard to, you know, some days I got it in my head. Right now I called just to answer what Lincoln was talking about Hillary. But, you know, maybe on a Friday I'll come up with something that's solid that I can, you know, expand on right off the top of my head. I don't know. They have us in every way you can have somebody. They got us. They got you making up another story about why Nancy Pelosi's not giving this stuff to the Senate. They already know the Senate's going to vote it down because it's Republican. They're going to protect the candidate.
Well, because the story there is, what are they defending? I mean, what is the point of this legal action they're taking? They can't justify what the point of it is.
Right. They can't justify the point of it because there is no point to it. The whole thing's pointless.
Exactly.
They're protecting,
so they're realizing
Biden.
That now.
I can understand.
And
that
is why they have to build new arguments to make their actions, their previous actions, make some kind of sense, when in fact they don't make any sense. They don't have enough of a legitimate argument to proceed with impeachment. They don't have it. Not in points and matters of law.
Right, and they're keeping us busy with this stuff also, keeping us coming up with new ideas of why she's doing this and why she's... It's parents, they are all on the same side, and they want Donald Trump to be the president because it drives fear into people. If it's only 50% of the people, then that's good. They want that 50% of the people to be in fear. And at all costs, we want him out of there. And we are on their side. They should be doing this. But then nothing happens. So then we scratch our head and we go into a circle and we don't know what's going on. Why do they want a feeble guy like Biden to be the candidate? Doesn't it make anybody think there's something strange going on? This is the crop of candidates that we have to go up against Donald Trump. They're putting people that are worse than him in there to go up. It's all designed. Democrats get 8 years.
He is the devil that they know and the devil they could work with. They don't need anybody new coming in at this time to, you know, reorganize things, start things over. They don't need that. They know Biden.
They need a clown like Donald Trump to get all this fanfare and attention and create all kinds of turmoil and things to get crazy about. And that's what they want, because they're taking care of other business without us knowing about it. I don't know.
Right.
There's a lot of things going on that don't make no sense, and we're not talking about any of those things. It's all focused on Donald Trump and this political system.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. But we have to start somewhere, and I've raised this question before. So here it is again. Thanks so much for calling in. Thanks, everybody, for making your contribution today. And we've come to the end of our time. We will see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.